When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What time is it?
Bum-ba-da-bum. You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to the flagship Hit That Line edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. We've got the Legal Gambling Council here. They will join us momentarily before I bring in the lovely gentlemen that round out this year's show. I do want to remind you each and every day, this podcast is brought to you by our good friends at the College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood, and you can check them out at collegecornerstore.com. Scott and the folks take care of us, and they will take care of you. As you know, this weekend, the season opener at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium is a whiteout. If you need anything white, College Corner's got you covered. They got polos. They've got stuff for the kids. They've got stuff for the girls, the moms, the ladies. They got white for everybody. If you need to pick up something new and crispy, go check out College Corner. Again, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood, and online, collegecornerstore.com. All right. Without further ado, let's bring in our counsel. Gentlemen, good evening. We have arrived. Last week was fun. Come on, man. I mean, Georgia Tech, maybe. The under was never a doubt. That was fun. We had a couple other games. Montana State winning was cool. Hawaii eked out a win. But now, look, I said this on the show earlier today. As the kids would say, we outside. We've got week one football.
Finally game week. Just week one of Ole Miss's quest of shocking the world.
That's right.
Furman, you're fucked.
Also, I saw that we got some love on the message board. Just wait until we start the walk and talk bets. We're wearing tank tops, like all four of us.
Yeah.
You're going to crush it. All the views.
Yeah. Dude, we got a pretty loaded card. We're obviously going to give you our winners, but we will make this show equally as efficient and just full of information as possible. So, of course, we will hit all the big games, you know, the Florida, Miami, Clemson, Georgia. We will make sure to do the heavy hitters, and then we will also let Nick talk about Akron and Eastern Washington and stuff like that. So we will get into to that. So I guess first things first, Ole Miss, Furman. We're not going to do a breakdown. I don't even know what the line is. What is it at now?
I haven't even seen the line for it.
I think I can effort really quick. It's per Vegas Insider, and DraftKings has it at 42.
It's 42 and a half.
FanDuel's 42 and a half. Let me ask y'all this, because we did a heavy recruiting. I did a couple heavy recruiting shows this week, and then obviously we've got some big visitors this weekend. If you don't know who they are, you're in luck. You can go to omspirit.com, and we'll fill you in. But do you think the play calling might be a little catered to some of the visitors?
I hope.
Yeah. Maybe Kiffin lets Dart sling it around a bunch for the first half.
I think you probably will have to strike a balance. You don't want to put too much on tape,
sure,
against Furman, you know. But that doesn't mean you can't just call go routes all day. You know what I mean?
After playing NCAA 25 so much, I mean, I want to see Priest Korn and Daquan Wright on the field at the same time and just do inside cross until people's eyes bleed.
Yeah.
Because those two guys on the field at the same time, they were going to see a lot of that. They've kind of hinted at it in camp. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't you? They're both really good. I think this offense is going to be a lot of fun. to see ramp up as we get to conference play, because I do think it's far more dynamic this season with, and that's weird to say without Quinshon Judkins, but I think the running backs are a little more capable of being dynamic in terms of getting out in space. But then you add an extra tight end, you've got Juice Wells added into the fold. People have been really hyping up Caden Lee and Aiden Williams from camp. I mean, I think you're going to, they're still going to run the football. Kiffin's going to always want to run the football and dictate pace like that. But I do think this offense is going to be really fun through the air.
To your point about the two tight end sets, I think that they just add so much versatility to the offense because both of those guys can play in the box, or you can flex them out and put them in like a true four wide, five wide set. I just think it makes it really difficult to prepare for from a personnel grouping standpoint. You can't assume we're doing anything just because both of those dudes are in the game. And we haven't really had that since Kiffin's been here. I mean, not two of them.
Good point. Yeah, because, you know, I feel like a lot of teams will have, you know, well, this is our, you know, this is our H-back, our Y tight end. This is our X tight end. Like both Daquan Wright and Caden Breescorn can do everything.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it.
Who did we have when he first got here? Yeboah,
yeah.
Was Casey Kelly still here?
I think Kelly was there.
I think he played in that.
Believe
Kelly played in that outback
one. I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Wasn't he like our leading receiver in that game or something?
Yeah. Because Yeboah didn't play, right? Yeah.
Was it him?
Nor did Elijah Moore.
Was it him and Plumlee?
That sounds right.
Plumlee had a good game. Yeah. But like, I think Ben was what he was getting at was Casey Kelly was on the field like a lot. It was pretty obvious. Like he was.
It was a run. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, not a knock on Casey Kelly. I mean, Yeboah was a better receiving tight end, but like he was a good blocker. Like he was willing to.
No, he was very effective. Yeah. Yeah.
Get in there.
Man, can y'all imagine what Kiffin could do with somebody like Evan Engram?
Yeah.
You want to talk about eyes bleeding? I mean, he would torture some people. I mean, that would be some diabolical shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complete mismatch.
Yeah. That stat that I sent y'all, he's. Evan Engram, I think I sent it to y'all. I think if he has, I think it's six or more touchdowns, it will tie like the all-time record I think Gronk has.
Really?
I'll have to double check. He's got some crazy stat like that. And then
that can't
DK Metcalf, I think DK needs eight to have the most touchdowns ever, or to tie Randy Moss for like your first like 5 years or 6 years in the league.
Okay.
That could be what it is with
Evan. We're getting that. I was sitting there thinking, I feel like you could count Ingram's touchdowns.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his drop touchdowns.
I still need to figure out if I played Evan Engram on NCAA 25 when I first got the game, because the gamer tag was Easy Engram. And that's his Twitter handle. So I think.
Does he have a son?
Don't say it. Ingram has a son old enough to be playing Xbox.
Whoever it was quit in the first quarter. So it was,
what team was he playing with?
Murphy Holloway's son's about to graduate from college.
Devin Gerald's son's, like a top 50 prospect next year.
I think he was
crazy.
He was playing with Texas.
Mm.
And I was playing with Utah. And I had Mike Bernard was running up some backs.
Is it going to rain Saturday?
Yes, yeah, 45%. That might be a factor, I suppose, now that you say it.
Take the under.
In our game, yeah.
Because that'll just be the heavy diet of Ulysses Bentley, Rashad Amos, and Henry Parrish.
I'm not – this is not meant to say that Ole Miss needs to keep its head on straight and yada yada, but Furman's good, 1AA team. They're good FCS.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Top 10. Is that right?
Yeah, they were ranked last year in FCS. That's weird.
They sort of hung around with South Carolina for a little while last year, right?
Yeah. Was it South Carolina? I was thinking it was North Carolina, but that may sounds have been. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were 10-3 last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I want to say it was a one score game at halftime with one of them. with whoever they play, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. Now, we are not either one of those teams, but
no.
They put up 21 in Williams-Brice and then rattled off three, six, eight straight, lost to Wofford, and then they lost to Montana in overtime in the quarterfinals. So, pretty solid. Yeah,
they're a good program.
Won the SoCon. Yeah. Clay Hendricks is the head coach. So, yeah, real quick on Ole Miss. Yeah, the number's pretty big. I could easily see a 45-10 win to where Furman covers. Honestly, we were talking about the offense a lot. I might be more excited to see what the defense looks like. I'm really intrigued to see the front seven.
In terms of covering the spread, I don't know, first, number one, how big of a drop-off do we have from the starting 11 to the second 11 on defense? And the reason I say that is because I don't – with this unorthodox or really orthodox NFL preseason setup like we have right now, a lot of guys are going to get some playing time on Saturday, I would expect. I don't think Walter Nolan, you're going to see him in the third quarter, for example.
Shouldn't be.
But is Walter the guy who comes in after him? Is that Jan Brown? Is it whoever that is that's after him? How much of a drop off is it? Like, is it a significant one? Because if it is, then I don't think Ole Miss covers. But if it's not, that guy's also going to play hard, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're the second team will beat Furman worse than the guys who know they've got depending on talent level.
If we do it by the unit, I would say at all three levels, I would say the biggest drop off is probably linebacker, because I think D line's deep.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's Cam Franklin, William Eccles, Jan Brown, DJ Holmes.
Whoever. I mean, those are all blue chip guys.
Yeah.
Furman didn't have a dude on the roster.
Yeah.
And
Cam Franklin starts on our 2020 team.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah. And I all due respect to the fellas, I think you get into the two deep at linebacker, I think it's probably you're looking at Tripp White, Tyler Banks, who Tyler Banks played a lot last year, and I think he's fine. But it's just I think the secondary is still pretty deep, and the D-line's just nasty. So if you had to pick one, it would be linebacker, but you have to hope that those guys up front help them out. But
yeah,
there's not a lot to say about the game. I mean, I think that any variation of 35-0 to 59-17 could happen.
Yeah.
I can see an accidental cover. Like, I don't think Kiffin has any incentive to run it up.
No.
But I also don't recall a game where we didn't just run our playbook. Like, you know, Monroe, we were a little sleepy in years past. Like, there have been games where we were sleepy, but it's not like he turned around and handed the ball off 20 times to ice a game. I mean, he's still going to call. We're still going to take shots downfield. They're going to run the offense. Like, they just are.
Yeah.
So if it's Walker Howard or Austin Simmons throwing to Aiden Williams and Caden Lee, it may be 52-14.
Well, and that's the same point about defense. Like, when you take out Trey Harris, I'm not saying Aiden Williams is Trey Harris or not, but Aiden Williams is still probably so much better than that Furman DB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to your point, Ben, you're talking about the D linemen want to get after it. If Aiden Williams or Narrell White catches a pass and they're in the open field, they're going to try to house it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Caden Lee did that to a couple teams last year.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did. And Austin, you mentioned ULM, and I'm not like beleaguering your point here, but you talked about coming out sleepy. That was late in the year, that's kind of a letdown spot. This not a letdown spot. Obviously, I think you'd agree. I'm not going against you, but to say same spot last year against a similarly pretty decent FCS team, we put up 73 on Mercer.
Yeah. Right.
73-7. That was like the old freeze, what we did against UT Martin type game. Just absolute all gas, no breaks. I don't know.
Trey Harris had like 14 touchdowns in that game.
Oh, I do remember it now.
Yeah. That's all I remember.
Mercer scored on the first play from scrimmage.
First play. Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. I got like 4 texts from Mississippi State people.
Yeah. Really locked into our game against
Mercer.
Yeah.
It was a quarterback.
The quarterback ran.
Just read option quarterback.
Yeah, RPO.
Just straight up the gut, shocked the world, scored.
Like, oh man, y'all can't catch that Mercer quarterback's fast, man. Y'all gonna have your hands full. The end of the first half, it was like 61-7.
73 points later.
Yeah.
All right.
We had 667 yards that game.
But did Spencer Sanders throw a couple of TDs in that one?
I think he did.
Did he get
Jordan, it? Jordan Watkins ran a punt back, if I remember.
Jackson Dart was 18 for 23 for 334.
Yeah.
He was averaging nearly 20 yards of completion. That's just crazy efficient.
Every time Trey Harris caught it, he scored. Like, they couldn't tackle him.
Yeah, they couldn't tackle him. Yeah, Nick. I mean, it may look
Matt
a lot
Jones
like
scored.
That.
It was 28-7 at the end of the first. It was 38-7 at halftime.
So – did the first 5 catches Trey Harris had last year were touchdowns? Do I remember that right? Did he only have 4 catches against?
He had 4 in the opener, and then he had
the two lane touchdown.
He had 6 receptions against.
Okay,
Mercer.
I'm wrong. I was thinking
6 and.
Okay,
he scored his first play from his first, I guess, catch was a touchdown. Then he had 2 more in the first quarter, and then he had another one in the third quarter.
And then he had the one against Tulane when he got hurt.
Yep. Yeah. First play of the game. Or first play of his game.
Yeah, yeah.
3 plays.
That was his coming out party for sure. We knew he'd be good, but he kind of shocked the world there against Mercer.
Against Mercer, that's for sure.
It's still crazy to me that he scored against Tulane where he messed up his knee and just was fine.
Still just scored, outran
Tulane.
That was really shocking to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, so I'm looking at the slate here. Nothing really jumps out on Thursday. Got some ranked teams in action, but there's really nothing of note here. We can circle back. Oh,
was it UNC in Minnesota tomorrow? Right?
Minnesota, yeah.
Also, North Dakota State, Colorado. Okay, we have
to. Oh, I forgot that's tomorrow.
Totally.
I'm close to locking in Colorado. I don't think it's going to be I think Colorado is like more talented than an FCS team. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still do have a pretty good quarterback. I don't think Sanders is like the next, you know, Josh Allen, but he's a pretty good quarterback. He's better than what North Dakota State's got. And I mean, Travis Hunter's like the best player on the field.
Lock me in North Dakota State plus 10.
Plus how many?
10. It's moved to 10. It opened at 7.5. Give me the 2.5 points.
Wait, the 10 points.
Yes. I want the extra 2.5 from the open to 10.
I got you.
Give me 10.
Yeah, okay. All
right. You want to take Colorado? Go opposite.
Did it at 9, though. So
my only thing, Nick, is I think that you combat the talent that Colorado has. You know North Dakota State is going to be better coached and more disciplined.
But this game, ultimately, for North Dakota State, I mean, it would be really cool to be Colorado on whatever Fox, I'm sure, on the opening night of the season. It'd be really cool for them. But ultimately, they don't need it. They just need to get out unscathed, right? They don't
–
like, for them, their goal – I mean, it'd be really cool to go undefeated and having beaten Colorado. The goal is to win a national championship for North Dakota State. It's to not get injured against Colorado, whatever that might be. In the same way our Florida State's goal is to, you know, get out of the Georgia Tech alive because they can still win, win the title, whatever.
But devil's advocate, you know they have been prepping for this all offseason. It's on ESPN. It's their shot to prove to everyone, like, hey, you know, the Fargo Dome is cute and all, but, like, we play real football. And you know that those players and that coaching staff, they really want to stick it to Deion. I mean, I think that's what everybody is at this point.
Yeah, as you say, like everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one's The UNC Minnesota is interesting because
– Wait, so Ben, are you locking it in?
Plus 10?
I'm like 98% there.
Wait, do we want to say – do we want to mention how we're not doing like three picks each?
Oh, yeah. The rules this last year, week. We're just going to pick as many games as we possibly can. You have to do at least three.
Yeah, you have to do at least three.
And, like, if I want to go against Ben,
yeah, you can
do that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't.
Are you think locking in Austin? Is that why you asked?
I thought about it, man, but I kind of agree with Nick here. Like, they can afford to lose this one, and this is not your big brother's North Dakota State. Like, those teams in the past actually had pros. Like, I think the FCS gets rated so hard now because of NIL. I don't know if there are any dudes on the roster. And also, like yesterday, 2 days ago, they announced that their best defensive player is out. Unlikely to play. I mean, their coach left in the offseason to go be a linebackers coach at USC.
Yeah.
I don't know. Vibes are not great.
They're also not the best team in FCS anymore either. Like,
yeah.
This is where I like them, though. They got the offensive coordinator from Wyoming, who was their OC back when they won the national titles. He's back, all three of them or four or whatever. Polasek, I think, is his name. And then their quarterback is also very good and a dual threat. And I don't – the issue that I'm having is with outright locking it in is how well can they stop Shador and Travis Hunter, just the two of them. Because I think North Dakota State is going to move the ball and score on Colorado, but without Shador giving them the ball back, like gifting them interceptions, I just don't know that they can keep pace enough to keep it within 10.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they can't play keep away like they could in years past, it could get ugly quickly because there's no question that Colorado's skill talent is far superior to North Dakota State. Like, there's zero question. The only question is, are the trenches close enough where North Dakota State can play keep away and, you know, have it with 13-21 in the fourth and hopefully hold Colorado on that last drive that could be the front door cover.
To equate it to like Ole Miss, this Colorado team is like maybe 2016 Ole Miss in that there were a lot of good skill position players, no defense.
Not much else. Yeah.
Yep. But that team would have wrecked North Dakota State.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was you that mentioned Minnesota and North Carolina. Interesting spot here for North Carolina. I think I lean the Tar Heels here because I don't fully trust PJ Fleck's teams to cover anything. They're so just it's such a weird, like, I feel like they score like 12 points in games all the time. But I really like Amarian Hampton at UNC. Really, really good running back. And I don't know. I kind of feel like life after Drake May, it's not going to be anywhere near as good, but I think that Mac Brown and that staff have recruited well enough to be able to win this game. I couldn't tell you anything about Minnesota outside of I just don't trust a PJ Fleck offense to really do anything, but I really like Hampton at running back. And I think that,
you know, who UNC's quarterback is now, right?
I'm trying to remember his damn name and it's driving me nuts that I cannot remember. Who is it?
Max Johnson from A&M.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Journeyman. Really good quarterback. This is his third major FBS school.
Sneaky good portal pickup.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not Drake May, but, you know.
Nobody hit as many fadeaway shots on the Oxford campus as he did in that football game.
How many passes over the middle of the field did he complete off his back foot?
Back foot.
It was like Dirk Nowitzki out there. Yes.
It was insane. And look, by the way, when people say we were lucky to win that game, I'm like, did you watch the fucking game? We were not. No, they were lucky to be in that game.
Okay. First off, it's 14-3, I think. and we're about to go in to score again. We kick a field goal, or no, 21-3 maybe. I can't remember.
But they take a touchdown off the board. They take a touchdown off the board for holding.
Yes. And then they block the field goal and runs it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Now, that play happened. I get it. But, like, between that and all the floating touchdown pass or just completions and on third and long.
Yeah.
He had an uncanny completion rate on those. This is not me imagining it. It's the first time and only time I've ever seen that happen in that segment.
It was absurd. Mm-hmm. I think we had two touchdowns called back, didn't we? Or is it just one?
Definitely remember the one, the phantom hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. The one on pre-scorn. I think it was on pre-scorn is awful.
So bad. He just whipped the dude's ass, so the ref threw a flag. Yeah.
Yeah. Minnesota's this isn't a Golden Gophers podcast, but Minnesota was 6-7 last year. It's the first losing season since 2017. Mm-hmm. So, I think the shine's been off PJ Fleck for a while now, but they've been pretty consistently solid. The Tar Heels picked up Jeff Collins as their new DC. And I think that just that struggling rush defense for Minnesota, they were, I think, 10th in the Big Ten last year in stopping the run. Gave up close to 150 yards a game. I think Hampton will have a field day. Trying to find
Minnesota lost their DC too, who's really good. Rossi, I think, was his
last name.
Yeah.
North Carolina -1.5. Come on.
News, I think, yesterday that Minnesota may be down a receiver. Look, they opened as a favorite. So now it's flipped. They crossed the zero all the way over to UNC -2.
It's hard to take a favorite on the road on Thursday night. I think, Minnesota's a hard place to win as an opponent. I know they went
6-7. They always open that Thursday night at home, too. I'm always watching Minnesota on Thursday to open the season.
Huntington Bank Stadium. And if you want to tune in, have the volume on, because one of the best in the business, Jason Benetti, is on the call. It's on Fox.
Before we leave Thursday night, if you guys don't mind, I do have a lock. You mentioned Akron. This is a significantly worse team somehow, I think. let's head down I-55, hop on I-20. We'll pick up Jackson State on the way. We're headed to Monroe. UL Monroe hosting Jackson State on Thursday night. Big crowd expected, I'm sure, at Malone Stadium. UL Monroe, I'm seeing it here, and you guys disagree. I see it at some places. It's a little difficult because it's an FCS game, but I see some places 8.5, some places 7.5. On FanDuel, I see 6.5. It's juiced to -116. That's a big difference, I understand, to have – over the 7. If I can get 6.5, I am taking it for UM Monroe. The first year head coach, his name is Bryant Vincent. He was head coach at UAB. Yes, Hemingway's an offensive coordinator. Bryant Vincent, he was a head coach at UAB a couple years ago. They went to a bowl. He was an interim coach. The guy's been a coach before. And am I missing something? Like, did Deion go back to Jackson State?
That's a crazy number.
That's a crazy small line for what I don't think is like a really great Jackson State team. I would love to be proven wrong. It'd be cool if they're, won their conference again, but I don't think it's like an exceptional J-State team. UM Monroe is still, this guy's a first-year head coach in his first game, and all they got to do is win by a touchdown. I hate to bet on UM Monroe. That's psycho stuff, but UM Monroe.
that is pretty insane that it is only 6.5.
Yeah, it's 7.5 in some places. It's a little juiced on the 6.5, but FanDuel has it. If you are in a state where you can get on FanDuel, it's got it at 6.5 at -116. So,
yeah,
I would lay those extra 6 cents.
That's crazy number.
That's a good find.
That's a small number for
General Booty. They're just disrespecting General Booty like that.
How could you forget that? You have Hemingway, an offensive coordinator, General Booty.
General Booty. Yeah.
How long has that guy been playing college football?
like 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. He absolutely played in the same time as Chad Kelly.
He's got
absolutely, absolutely. He and Chad Kelly at some point.
He's quarterback emeritus for Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, Louisiana Monroe's over under is 2.5, but it's juiced at -180 to the under.
To the under. So,
yeah. I think that's, would that be right? Yeah. They really
gotta have this one. They may lose outright.
Gotta have this one.
No, but the schedule gets tough. I mean, later on in the season, they've got Troy and Southern Miss and South Alabama. So, you know, it really stiffens up.
Murderers Row, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, so, yeah,
they're just going game by game because I don't want to.
No, I'm sorry.
We'll speed it up here. Friday, there's not really anything outside of a lock. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the weekend. I love this. I love Saturday at 11 a.m. Just throw me right into it. Georgia, #1 Georgia, Clemson, on ABC in Mercedes-Benz. I'm going to keep it short here. I know Georgia's had some injuries. I know Brock Bowers is gone. I know Ladd McConkey's gone. I'm not locking it in, but I'd lay the points. I have zero confidence in Cade Klubnik. Will Shipley's gone. He made a lot of plays for them last year. I know Phil Mafah's there. He's still a good back. I've heard a lot of hype about Clemson's wide receivers all offseason. Again, we played the game last week. Can you name anyone outside of Antonio Williams? Georgia's way, 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 way too good and too talented across the board. I think they're going to make Cade Klubnik's life hell on Saturday. Two touchdowns, that's it? Like, I feel like this is a 31-13 game.
What is the total in this one?
Yeah, that's all I was fixing. I see both 48.5 and 49.5. I mean, that's a big difference, obviously.
I'm seeing 48.5.
God. Okay, so is
what Clemson's, do you see, Austin?
No, I was just scrolling. I said 49 is key there, obviously.
Yeah. Is Clemson's D-line good, or is everybody has everybody talked them into being good?
Yeah.
Because if their defense is, quote, loaded as everybody says they are, then I think under might be the play here. Early game, but, you know, rivals, quasi-rivals. But I'm with Zach. I would lay the points. It's hard for me not to lock this in. If I could, man, I've got to lay the points. I'm going to lock in 13.5 Georgia. There's no, until they prove otherwise, I'm not going to play against, I mean, Clemson to keep this game within two scores or within 13.5 for 60 minutes. Man, Deshaun Watson on that team, I don't see it. I don't see it. Georgia's too good. They don't turn the ball over ever. And, I mean, it's the best team in college football with the favorite to win the Heisman playing quarterback. So, you tell me. I mean, why should they not win by 14?
Clemson's got at least two, maybe three NFL players on the D-line, but – all Mike Bobo jokes aside, I feel like they've been prepping for this all offseason. This is a big statement game, Mercedes-Benz. It's not prime time, but you're the first game coming out of game day.
Yeah,
everybody's going to be watching it.
What's the best number you can get me if I want the under? I'm locking it in.
49.5.
That's what I'm seeing too. If y'all are okay with that, it's
49.5.
Georgia is not giving up many points to Clemson. I just don't see it. Last year's game was, what, 10-3 to open the season? I don't think it's going to be 10-3 again, but, like, Georgia just went out and just kind of, like, shut everything down, 121-10. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I mean, it's like a really uneventful game. I think that's kind of what they do.
Branson Robinson starting a running back?
I think you may have to because they got – Georgia's banged up in the backfield.
ETN, I think, is suspended.
Suspended, yeah.
See,
that helps on the under.
Yeah. But as you know, I mean, they recruit running backs well. So
right.
Yeah, they might have not had one.
Yeah.
Some years they have three or four.
Yeah. Like what was it the year? What did they have? Todd Gurley and DeAndre Swift on the same team?
Sony Michelle.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley.
And yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're gonna stay at
Austin,
11 a.m.
Did you give a prediction on that?
I think it's sharp. I mean, if you want me to play devil's advocate, I think injuries, suspensions make it, you know, a little trickier for Georgia than we probably imagined 2 weeks ago or a month ago. But I just think Clemson's going to be overwhelmed here. Even if Georgia has to get into their bench and play some depth, they've just got monsters, man. I mean, they've out-recruited every program in the country for the last 3, 4, or 5 years. I don't think Clemson can hang offensively. And this is not a Clemson defense that I think is just going to absolutely suffocate the other side. Like, the defensive line has talent. Zach mentioned that they've got some dudes up front, but do they have dudes in the second level? Do they have any corners? I don't know. I mean, I'm with Nick and Ben here. Zach too. I like the under with Nick. I almost locked that in. I think it's probably like 30-13, you know, goes under easily, unless Clemson just turns the ball over 10 times, which is possible, and gives Georgia short field position. I think Georgia throws it in cruise control in the early fourth and just salts it away with a heavy dose of run that Clemson is not going to be able to stop.
Yeah. And one of Clemson's best DBs, Andrew Makuba, is gone. He went to Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would go heavy, heavy Georgia. I don't know, man. Like Ben said, I mean,
they're getting a lot of name recognition. Clemson is.
I don't see it. I mean, everybody said it. I mean, this is the national champion early favorite.
They look like the early 2010s Alabama. You know, that's what their team has looked like the last few years. Maybe better. I mean,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's stay at 11 a.m. and we are going to go up to Milan Pusker Stadium in Morgantown, West Virginia. As we've got
a lot on this one.
Top 10 Penn State. Is going into Morgantown. Austin, you just said it. I'm going to lock in West Virginia to cover here. I think this has trap game written all over it. I really liked what the Mountaineers did last year. Close to winning 10 games. Neil Brown's kind of figured it out. I mean, he was kind of, you know, they had the paddles out ready to, you know, try to revive him, and then West Virginia rattles off and wins 9 games. I think that West Virginia is more than capable here of making this one weird. West Virginia's offense brings back just about everybody, and it was an offense that kind of hit their stride late in the year, and I don't really believe in Drew Aller at all. I think that this is a really weird, like, I don't know why they're top 10. I've seen a lot of people predicting that Penn State could win the Big Ten. I don't get that either. I like Garrett Green at quarterback. He's a fun guy to watch. So I'm going to lock in, 8.5?
I think not. 8.5. No, I see. Well, 8.5.
Yeah.
Opened at 9.5. I can get 8.5. I'll go ahead and lock that in.
Yeah. I've got 10.5 on West Virginia in pocket from months ago. So I'm not going to double dip there, even locks wise, but I definitely am going to lock in under 51.5. A couple of things, just one macro point. We have a very limited data sample, so who knows how this is going to play out, but I thought it was interesting. FSU and Georgia Tech, both teams were content to use the headset communication until 15 seconds were left on the play clock and even below. So if coaches are going to make use of that all season and let the play clock tick, 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 I think games are going to go under. I just think you're going to see fewer plays. There were, I think, FSU and Georgia Tech, each team only had 7 possessions or something like that, which is
it was crazy. 14 total possessions in that game.
That's crazy, though. That's an Army-Navy game. Like, that's right. That's insane. Look, Penn State and West Virginia, I think, would have been content to play at a slow pace even prior to these changes. But if both coaches are going to talk their quarterback's ears off until 14 seconds are left on the play clock and then execute their motion and check with me or whatever – you can see the ball being snapped at like 7 seconds, even in the first half or something. So I think I'm going to test my theory here going under there. Two, if West Virginia has any chance to win the game, and I think they do, they're going to have to play a little keep away. They're not going to be bombing downfield with their quarterback and their skill guys. Their strengths are offensive line and running back, running a little RPO game. I think they're going to do that. I don't know that Penn State is going to be able to completely shut down the run, so I expect West Virginia to – extend some drives, maybe finish them off with a couple field goals. Last thing here, Penn State's new offensive coordinator came from Kansas. Kansas played at a really slow pace last year. I expect him to do the same at Penn State. So for me, first game of the year out of the gate, I just think all that combines for a pretty comfortable under. I can see it, Penn State 27-17, 27-20, something like that. I think we go under.
Yep. Love it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's going to be rowdy crowd too. And is Drew Aller capable of running off and leaving West Virginia in Morgantown? I just don't see that. And is he capable of doing that with his new coordinator? Don't see that either. I like the pick. I like both of y'all's picks, frankly. That's a good lock from Zach and Austin.
By the way, if you're going based on last year's score, I had West Virginia last year too. That score was so deceptive. Franklin scored at the end like a shit bag to cover. Like there was like 5 seconds left and he punches it in the end zone for the cover. Like West Virginia deserved the cover last year.
Yeah.
And look, Garrett Green's not Jackson Dart and Neil Brown's not Lane Kiffin, but offenses kind of like to do a lot of similar stuff. And now you got to execute. But Ole Miss figured out Penn State's defense real quick. And now I know Abdul Carter got hurt.
And he's really good.
He's very good. A lot of guys.
Maybe the best defense player in the country.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's sick. I mean, we were all there, right? I mean, Ole Miss beat him like a drum. Yeah. So fun 11 a.m. game if you want to put it on the second screen while Georgia and Clemson are going. We know Nick has them. I got them. For those of you that don't, you might need a third screen at 11 a.m. We're going to go here, and y'all might laugh. We're going to go to Nashville, and we're going to talk Virginia Tech Vandy. I love this game. I'm high on Virginia Tech. I took them in my win totals locks. Now, caveat. Diego Pavia makes this one very interesting. Now, how much help will he have? I don't know. The line is only, 2 touchdowns?
Under, 13 and a half. Under,
Interesting spot here.
Yeah, I'm going to lock in Virginia Tech.
Okay.
If nobody
did, I was probably going
to. I have another lock here, too.
Okay.
I'm going locking in over 48. And here's why. The line has been driven down, or the total has been driven down from 55 to 48. You're giving me 7 points. Anytime I take a touchdown, I have to go against the movement. So give me over 48, locking that in.
Bill C's got it at 57.
Yep.
He's got it 36-21. Like, you're not even.
I don't understand this. Is somebody hurt that I don't know about?
Or is there weather? What's the forecast in Nashville?
I think it's like hot as shit, like it is here.
This could be a sneaky fun game. You get yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you could get Kyren Drones and Diego going at it. I don't know.
I think Virginia Tech could cover the total by themselves.
Yeah, could. I was going to say, are they not going to get into the 40s? I mean,
is all I need is like 10 points from Vandy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Vandy's couple guys on defense. Langston Patterson's a really good linebacker. He could probably end up being like a fifth or sixth or seventh round pick at some point. He's played a lot of football, and he's been, you know, lone ranger on a terrible Vandy defense for a couple years now. But yeah, it's going to be tough sledding for Vandy to keep up. Cause I mean, I will beat the Hokie drum all year until they prove otherwise. I think Kyren Drones in that system for another year is going to be a lot of fun to watch. They lost Daquan Wright, obviously, to Ole Miss, but I really like what Pry's got going up there in Blacksburg.
Yeah, same. I just think they're going to be too much for Vandy. Vandy may be spunky for a quarter or a half. I just don't think they have the dudes to keep pace with Virginia Tech, who has some weapons. And Kyren Drones is sneaky best quarterback in the ACC.
Yeah.
Could be.
Might be him versus Max Johnson for that.
Could be.
All right, let's head on down the docket here. 2:30.
Real quick, before we get too far in the day. Well, this is a 2:30 game. Either way, I want to just go ahead and lock it in while I have a second. Akron travels to Ohio State. I know Ben is a big fan. I know Ben's a big fan of taking Ohio State. I thought about taking Ohio State. They're -48.5. Here, what I am going to do is take the under. Let me make sure I have this right. What I am going to do is take the under 58.5. If they're expecting Ohio State to win by 48.5, I'm not expecting Akron to score. So, and that to me is 48.5. They're expecting like a 53-6 type thing. I just don't see that. I don't see Akron scoring any more than a field goal. They're not scoring a touchdown. Ohio State beats these MAC teams like a drum year in, year out. I think against the spread, like the last 14 games against the MAC or something, they're 11-3. So they're going to beat them bad. They're not going to give up any points. Under 58.5. I mean, I don't think they have incentive to beat them, 60+ to nothing. But, if they're thinking Ohio State's winning by 48, we've got 49-0, we've got 52-0, 56-0, all the way up before we get to 58. So. And I think Ohio State wants to, look good after what Michigan did last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to probably let Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson run a bunch. And
I can't even comment on this game. Like, I have no – you just got to hope that Joe Moorhead doesn't, have a fluke play where they score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because one corner to fall down – and the receiver catch it, untouched and score. You're going to be tight butthole.
Would Akron covering 48.5 shock the world?
Would shock me. Shock my world.
It might.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think when you initially locked this in, Nick, my first thought was, oh, God, like, Ohio State's going to score 60. But I don't know. I think Ryan Day might just put it in cruise control in the third quarter.
Right.
And just run the ball. But it's Ohio State, they love to look good.
I mean, it's Chip Kelly. They may run the ball the entire game, no matter what. Like, not exactly just, known for his downfield shots.
To help things out, last time Ohio State played a MAC team, it was 77-21. So
I was going to say, I don't know if Chip Kelly wants this game to get over quickly, because then, like, he in his mind, he's like, well, as soon as this game's over, I have to recruit, and I fucking hate recruiting.
So. I'm not doing that.
So, yeah, maybe he just throws the ball a lot. I don't know.
He's calling timeout with 1 second to go. Don't let the game
end. I'm staying here.
Get a false start.
I'm not leaving.
You know who the DC is at Ohio State?
The dude that came from coach.
Mike McIntyre?
Close. He's a defensive coach at Ole Miss at one point.
At Ohio State?
Undercut. He left Ole Miss. Left Ole Miss and went to Cornell. Jim
Chuck
Knowles.
Dreisbach?
Knowles. Jim Knowles. Yeah. It was at Oklahoma State before that.
He was at Oklahoma State for 3 years, Duke for a few years, and then he was the head coach at Cornell for 5. And they were
what?
They're pretty bad.
Can you imagine going from Cornell to Ohio State? Holy!
I wonder if my guy J.D. Piquel played for him.
Think about the conversations you have with Cornell players as opposed to Ohio State players.
Yeah, he went from Cornell to Duke, then to Oklahoma State. Imagine the conversations he had at Cornell and Duke, and the conversations he had with Gundy at Oklahoma State.
Jeez,
he did that for 3 years. I don't know how.
Definitely figured out not to seek any medical advice when he was in Stillwater.
He was at Duke. He was in Stillwater when COVID hit, so I'm sure that it was crazy.
Doubled his analyst for realclearpolitics.com.
What do you think was higher, his player's average GPA at Cornell or Gundy's average BAC at Oklahoma State? While he was there
as a student.
Man, some of the GPAs up there, like, you're like dead.
He probably has like 14 analysts from Cornell, and they're all, you know,
they built like rhythms.
Yeah, they've charted everything. They know exactly what play you're running before. They don't need binoculars in the press box looking down on the other sideline.
Okay, Jim. This is Donovan Edwards. All right, so staying at 230, let's go to the Swamp. 19th ranked Miami at Florida. I don't have a lock here, but really weird spot because as much hype as Cam Ward has gotten, he turned the ball over a lot at Washington State. But I do think it's going to help. You're going to have better players, better offensive line. And by God, his name is escaping me, but the running back that Miami got from Oregon State is a stud.
Martinez, yeah.
We were after him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean Miami here. I don't know. Both coaches are coaching for their job, essentially.
This is a tough pick, man.
I kind of feel like I trust Cristobal more, and it's not by a lot. But
I have a lock here.
Okay.
I'm going under 54.5. I hate to be team under all day, but I don't see this game getting high scoring. These teams are going to play scared. Austin made a good point, or Nick, I can't, or maybe Zach, one of you, about the number of possessions in the Georgia Tech Florida State game. I just think that, especially on teams that who are going to be pressing, or coaching staffs pressing to keep their jobs, are going to have more incentive to talk. They're just not going to be able to help themselves. They're going to talk to their players until 15 seconds is up. They're just not going to be able to shut up. And these teams are not going. I don't see this being a run and shoot type tennis match. I think it's, you know, this is going to be a grind out. I actually like Florida here to win in this spot at home, you know, week one, just not based on talent. I think Miami's ultimately the better team. Just think early in the season, they still have a lot to play for. They've not been beat down yet. And they've had all offseason to get healthy. I would take the Gators here. Close though. I mean, like a 1-point win, but under 54.5 is my lock.
Yeah. If Florida has any shot at making a bowl game, as crazy as that sounds, to hear from Florida after the long streak they had, it's winning this game right here because they've got a murderer's row at the end of the season. We've talked about it like all seasons, like probably the hardest schedule in the history of college football. Not only do they end with Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State, who may not be as good as we thought. They also have Texas A&M earlier in the season, and they go to Tennessee in the middle of the year. They've got this game like circled. Obviously, it's a big rivalry game stuff, but if they want to have any chance of getting to 6 wins, they got to do it early because it gets brutal late. I think I'm taking, let me make sure I have this number right. I am taking Florida money line. That's my money line sprinkle that we're going to have. I've got them at 125 plus 125 here. I don't think it's a big enough number for me to grab the extra 2 points. I'm just going to go ahead and grab the money line there. I think Florida wins.
Okay. It wouldn't be crazy.
No,
I like Miami too. As crazy as that is.
I think Miami's the best team in the ACC, but I just think this is a tricky spot right out of the gate when you're facing a Florida team who has not been beaten down yet. As you said, Nick, Billy Napier is no doubt coaching for his job. And look, Cam Ward has a really high ceiling. Like, his highs are high. His lows are pretty low, though. And he could not carry Washington State to wins in a far superior conference, far inferior conference, rather, against inferior competition last year. I mean, there were games where he looked lost against bad teams up in Washington State. Now, look, you make him out look like a Heisman Trophy winner. I who knows? It's the first game of the season. But to Ben's point about coaches overcoaching, I think this game is going to be the most overcoached game of the year. I expect Cristobal and Napier both to be in their quarterback's ears for, you know, the full 15 seconds or down to 15 seconds, and then signaling in after that, trying to do everything they can to gain an advantage because they both desperately need to win this game. I love the under. I've got Florida in my pocket at 3.5 from like July. So I wouldn't touch anything but the money line here. As Nick said on Florida, there's really no point in taking 2.5 in college football. Although if you were going to do that, a game against Mario Cristobal is a pretty good one to take points in, no matter how many points, because he's an absolute idiot. So any points you can get against him are critical. I think Florida wins. I think Florida comes out of the gate and wins, and the train goes off the tracks later in the season. But I just think Florida can hang at home against a rival. Cam Ward, his first big-time moment.
Like, you know, it's going to be a million degrees down there. And I know it's Miami, so it's not like Miami's not going to know. But it's just going to be an ugly, like, 3:30 local start.
Yep.
God.
Yep. And is Cam Ward, has he ever played in a game this big in his career?
No. They're going to be rowdy. The fans are still going to have everything to get loud for. And this is going to be a game that everybody knows, including the athletic director at Florida, how difficult the schedule is. And so this will be a game that Napier can point to at the end of the season if they do go 5-7 or 6-6 and say, look, yeah, we went 6-6. It was the toughest schedule in college football. Georgia's as good as anybody has ever been. We had to play both Florida State and Miami, and we beat both of them out of conference.
Yeah.
And so at that point, the AD can say, you know what, things are trending better. Like, we can – that's a job-saving type deal. I hate to say that the first game of the year could help that, but it's just true. Like, when you play a great out-of-conference opponent like this and Florida State, and you can go 2-0 against them, which it's very clear to me that Florida State can do that now. Florida can, after watching Florida State and Georgia.
Yeah,
Florida State don't look very good. And so, they got a chance.
That's a good point, because I was told all offseason – by people in the industry that they heard the magic number was 7 for Napier.
Cool.
I don't know if he did 7.
I don't know. No. I was just fixing to say, looking at their schedule, I mean, realistically, let's say Miami wins the ACC, Ole Miss, Texas, and Georgia go to the playoff. They could have 4 playoff teams on their schedule. I mean, there's like an outside chance that Tennessee or Texas A&M or LSU's in there. There's an outside chance they could have 5 college football playoff teams on their schedule.
Fucking wild.
If they beat
what if UCF wins the Big 12?
Yeah, they could.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
They could, and they got. I mean, it's not like UCF doesn't have dude from Sardis. What's his name?
That played at
Arkansas.
Yeah,
KJ. Everson. Yeah, I mean, dude, look, Florida has. It is an impossible run. Like, I think the good Alabama teams. Understatement. Like, no, I'm not talking 2011 Alabama, but I'm talking, or whatever year that was. I'm talking 2014 Alabama, 2015 Alabama, even teams that made the playoff and might have won the national championship. They look at 9-3 at this schedule, just because of the grind.
Yeah, what does Ole Miss do against this schedule?
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, three losses would be
Golly.
Crazy schedule. I just can't get out. It really is. Like I've seen things, multiple things. It's like if they go 8-4, they'd be in the college football playoff discussion.
They probably would deserve it. That would truly shock the world if they went.
That would actually shock the world.
All right, we've got just kind of browsing here. We have three more. We definitely have two more big games to discuss, and then obviously the fun one on Monday. Now that means a whole hell of a lot more. But let's go to Kyle Field, College Station, 6:30 ABC. You've got number 7 Notre Dame, number 20 Texas A&M. A&M, I believe, is still favored by a field goal.
If I can get A&M at 2.5, I want A&M. Thank you.
I don't see it 2.5.
You can get it at Hard Rock, but we don't play that here.
Yeah, it's also -125.
3 is the line.
Okay, I'll take A&M -3. Thank you. Lock it in.
Okay.
Wait. Hold on. FanDuel's 2.5 A&M.
Is it?
It's also 120.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Nick gets 117, but I don't get 120.
Oh, FanDuel? Okay. Yeah,
whatever. Give me whatever. Apologies. This is always slanted. I win this every year anyway. It's okay. Look, A&M is, -3 is fine. I think they win this by 7 or 10, frankly. Notre Dame has 4 starting offensive linemen out.
Yeah.
How are they going to block A&M?
They're not.
No, you get 2.5. That was right. I missed it. I don't have my glasses on. But yeah,
Nick is lodging his grievance.
What do you want, Nick? What do you want? I'll change it.
I mean, he said they're going to win by 7. So he needs. I mean,
it opened at 1.5. So clearly, the public or the whoever is with us. I think it's 7-10. I think this line is wrong. I don't see Notre Dame playing with A&M for 4 quarters. They've got a new coach bump. They're playing at home. The fans are going to be rowdy. Like, this is a prime spot. What's time is kick? 6:30? Yeah.
6:30.
Yeah. I've been waiting to lock this one in all day. A&M, whatever point you want, do 3. That's fine. They're going to, you know, it would shock the world if Notre Dame beat A&M.
It would.
All right.
Do two and a half.
All right. SC, LSU, Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium. I like SC in this spot.
Yeah, I'm locking in 4.5 if you'll give it to me.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Please tell me why I want to believe.
Do you know for certain that Nussmeier's better than Miller Moss right now?
No, and I also would take – this is my money line sprinkle USC. Go ahead, Austin.
I kind of want the over. So was it 64?
No, I like the over too. But here's the thing that worries me about the over. The same whole play clock conversation. We won't beat it to death. But like, I can imagine both of these coaching staffs also staying on the headset the entire time to try to maximize the play value, right?
Yes.
So I know the defenses are probably not going to be very good and the offenses are expected to be really good. But I just worry about that in every game until I see otherwise. Especially with offensive minded coaches who I expect to be in the quarterback's ear until the very last moment. It would be different if it was Ed Orgeron on the mic. But with two offensive guys, I think they're going to take advantage of it. Anyway, USC, is Nussmeier absolutely, certainly, no doubt about it, better than Miller Moss? I don't know that for certain. I think I know that USC's receivers are better than LSU's receivers. LSU may have an advantage on the offensive line. We'll see. I mean, we talked about how Jane Daniels had to scramble around for his life last year.
Well, they're getting a lot of mileage out of Will Campbell in the offseason. My goodness. Yeah. You'd think the guy was Laramie Tunsil. Better. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I think USC got better defensively in the offseason. They upgraded their coaching staff, certainly, and I think they got better pieces on that side of the ball. LSU did not upgrade their personnel on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it remains to be seen whether they upgraded their coaching staff. I don't know. I mean, the guy was decent at Missouri, but he had 4 NFL players on the defense at Missouri. I don't know that he's got 4 NFL players on this LSU defense this year. Not this year. Years past, that would be crazy to say that. But I'm not sure that he does right now. I just think these teams are a coin toss. I don't know why LSU is getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, no, they always get the
logo
for that. But
logo,
like
logo,
I think Lincoln Riley is going to be scrappy here. I expect them to score. Can LSU keep pace? Maybe. But give me the 4.5 for insurance.
What was the LSU Florida State final last year? Did Florida State beat LSU?
Florida State beat LSU last year. Yeah, yeah, Florida State bombed LSU last year.
Yeah, it was 45-24.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking that this is that, but I do think the year before they played in the
Super Bowl, 24-23 was the year before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be more like that game. And I like USC. I don't get this at all. I don't. We got a first year for everything Austin just said. This is my money line sprinkle. I don't get it.
Yeah.
If LSU had Ole Miss's helmet, maybe not Ole Miss now because we've kind of won our way out of that. But if LSU had Oklahoma State's helmet on, then USC would be favored in this game.
Oh, by 6.
Yeah,
they would. They're the better team.
So I got Austin, got SC covering. Ben's got SC money line. If we don't have anything else on this game, we can go ahead and jump in to add any more locks to the
I think I've got several locks already, but and I don't even like this week. But I want to also lock in. Give me just a second.
I've got a couple here I can throw out.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to lock in Toledo minus 27.5 against Duquesne. Jason Candle's going to score a bunch when he can. Toledo's got
he is still at Toledo. That is crazy.
Yeah, they got a couple. They got a couple all conference receivers. One guy, Jawan Newton, almost had 1,000 yards last year. Anthony Torres had close to 500. They got a new quarterback, but Candle's pretty good with quarterbacks. And their defense is pretty solid. But the one thing about when I was looking at this, Duquesne,
trash.
The Dukes have been playing football for 97 seasons. Toledo will be only the 10th FBS program that Duquesne has played.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a playoff.
Yeah. Hardly ever do it. And also Duquesne only returns 11 total starters from last year.
That's Thursday, by the way, just to let everyone know.
Yeah. And now they do have a good quarterback and a great name, Darius Perantis. He was a finalist for the Walter Payton Award last year. But I like Toledo here in the Glass Bowl. And then also I'm going to go ahead and lock in FAU plus 14, just a Tom Herman special here. Michigan State is terrible. Jonathan Smith's a really good coach, but I think it's going to take a little bit to get that plane off the ground. I like Tom Herman getting it done.
Can I join you with that one? FAU?
Yeah.
That's on my list.
Yeah.
There is maybe some weather there. I don't know. That then it's not going to snow, so that I don't really – that didn't really affect FAU. But I do think it's like rain is in the forecast because that total has crashed dramatically. But, yeah, I like FAU to cover the 14. I'll do a couple more locks if nobody else has got anything.
I've got one, but go ahead.
Okay. What do you, let's see. What can you give me on, what's the State EKU line?
Oh, I'm with you. 24.5. Wait, which side?
Give me the Colonels. No. Give me the Colonels. Yeah. 24.5. Don't bet your mortgage on it. But like we're certain
good at all.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And State's gonna be down some receivers. Like, is I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think Levy's a good offensive coach, obviously. I don't
know. What is the number?
24.5.
Okay.
Two more. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's not a terrible bet.
Yeah, look, even if they try to throw – here's the thing. We saw this firsthand with Levy and with an Ole Miss offense that was very explosive, but with a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed, right? If the offense doesn't score on every drive, the back door will be open for a big number like this. It just will. Mm-hmm. Is State going to score on literally every drive? I don't know. First game, they're down their, all-world receiver from UTEP. you know, and Kelly Akari. And I think maybe missing a couple of other guys. I don't know. I mean, State 40.
They played Kentucky 28-17 last year.
What did they do the week before that?
Oh, they got wrecked by Cincinnati.
Yeah, they lost by 53 to Cincinnati.
So let's see what happens. It's week one.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go our first whatever head to head.
Are you going to State?
I'm taking MSU at 24.5. They're 5-6 last year in whatever league, Tarleton, Gardner Webb.
So was State.
Utah Tech. In the SEC, 24.5. You said they might have to score every possession. They will, if they need to, they will score every possession.
If State wins 42-21, their fans are happy, and EKU also covers.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Now that you say it like that, it kind of scares me, but I'm locking in MSU.
Like man, 24.5, you need to have like a top 25 team to take those lines.
I think Lebbing understands, like, he needs to butter some bread here. He's going to be
just doesn't have the athletes outside to do it.
Maybe, but I mean, I've seen bad Ole Miss teams beat FCS teams by more than 24 points. I'd have to go find it, but
not often. Yeah,
I've seen not often. Mediocre Ole Miss teams.
I've seen bad Ole Miss teams lose to FCS.
Good Jacksonville State team, though.
Like, I want to take. Here's a lock. I want to take UNLV plus 2.5 against Houston. Houston has a new coach. We all like him. It's Willie Fritz. I'm kind of surprised he left Tulane for Houston. Unless it's just a lot more money. I also like the over in this game, but I'm going to stick with UNLV and the points. While Willie Fritz is a really good coach for Houston, it's going to be his first year. This is a completely different system. They had Dana Holgorsen. Now they've got Fritz. It's going to be a little bit more physical, defense-oriented. But UNLV is already established in that under Barry Odom. I think they went like 9-5 or something last year. Yeah. And might have won their conference.
They're good.
Yeah. And so give me UNLV. I don't even think UNLV knows who their starting quarterback is. I don't care. I like to take the 3 points here. And I think they've got the better team than Houston. And so I'm going to lock in UNLV. It's a coaching decision for me more than anything. But it's also a transition of style. And while I don't think that's going to take that long in the days of the portal, I don't know how much that's going to translate from, like, it may not take that long in the SEC, but it's going to take much longer for the schools, you know, like Houston, frankly. So give me the running Rebels.
All right. Couple more here to finish out my docket.
Alabama minus 31.5.
I got Wyoming plus 7.5 at Arizona State. I trust Svoboda and the Cowboys, and I think Arizona State's going to be really bad. Staying in the territory state, I'm going to go Arizona minus 31.5 against New Mexico. New Mexico's down bad after last week. I like Arizona. They got some good pieces with Fifita and McMillan. I think they're going to be really fun offensively, even though Jed Fish is gone. And then sicko pick of the week here. I'm going to go with Illinois State plus 22.5 at Iowa.
Ooh, I was thinking about locking in
Iowa to score.
I saw that. Yeah.
I was going to take, like, I think Iowa wins like 27-0.
Yeah, I mean. Could be, yeah. You know, a 27-7.
No, yeah.
Because Iowa's Iowa.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got one more. If you guys don't have anything else. Sam Houston State is headed to Rice. It's the Southeast Texas Derby. Sam Houston State played well at the end of last year. They beat Kennesaw, Louisiana Tech, lost close to Western Kentucky, and then beat Middle Tennessee at the end of the year. Rice ended their season getting whipped by Texas State. I just don't think it's a very great football team. And they're laying 10. It's at home, obviously, at Rice. But I don't think that Rice is all that great. I think Sam Houston State has gotten a lot better. This is what, their third year now in FBS? This might be their second year in FBS. This is their second year in FBS. I just think they were much improved in the last season. They're getting 10 points against Rice, so lock in Sam Houston State.
Is that plus 10?
Yeah, Sam Houston State plus 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rice laying 10 points seems like you heard that wrong.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what I was thinking. All right.
Give me South Carolina laying 20 in the hook. If y'all give me the hook, I mean, FanDuel has it at 122. If not, I'll lay the 21 flat. Doesn't matter. I think ODU is bad, and I think South Carolina is going to flex a little bit here. They need to establish some positive momentum. And their camp has been pretty optimistic about Sellers and their defense. I just think this is a game where an SEC team blasts a team that can't hang. ODU is bad.
Yeah.
South Carolina, I think, cruises here, gets in the 40s. I'd be stunned if ODU got in the 20s. So I'm laying 20 and a half or 21, whatever. Pick the juice. My money line sprinkle will be the Stanford Cardinal over
I love that.
TCU.
I almost took that plus 9. That's a lot of points at home.
It is. And I think the 9 is probably the more prudent pick, but I need a money line sprinkle here. So give me the longer odds. Plus 275, 260, oh, plus 260. Yeah.
I like that.
Does everybody have a money line sprinkle? Zach, you need to do one, then we can log off.
Yeah, let me peruse here.
Come on. Take the Colonels.
Do it.
No.
I doubt that's on the board.
All right. Money line sprinkle, Boston College, plus 500.
Oh, that would be the actual best case scenario.
It's actually not a bad pick. Coming back from Ireland, like
Bill O'Brien.
There's going to be some jet lag.
Bill O'Brien's the coach now.
I don't hate that. That's a good pick.
No, I don't hate it either.
What's the total? I mean, what's the spread?
It's down to 16 and a half.
Jeez, yeah. That's low.
I even see it at 16. And that's out of – the over-under is 48 and a half. So they're thinking low score. They're thinking it's a beatdown.
Yeah.
If it's 48 and a half and it's 16. But
I like this pick. That will be the money line sprinkle of the year in week one if that hits.
That would be awesome.
I've got BC in pocket at 22 from earlier.
Oh.
I'm thinking about trying to middle this and hitting – FSU at 16 and hoping it lands 17, 18, or 20.
Yeah, and
that's degeneracy.
But I want to see if it keeps crashing. I mean, is there any shot we get down to FSU 14?
I think you might get 14 and a half.
Yeah, 14, I would hold that until Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game day.
Until Monday.
Yeah,
Zach has to leave so we can wrap it up.
This is a short podcast,
right? 116. That's
We were efficient.
I got so many more picks.
Yeah, well, yeah, we hit our stride late in the show, but yeah, we got tons and tons and tons of locks. So we will revisit the results next week. I kind of like this new format where we can kind of just throw out stuff that we like. I think the listeners and the viewers will like it too, where, you know, got a little more to choose from. So appreciate everybody joining. Appreciate College Corner. Appreciate Roback. Be sure to go to roback.com. Use promo code JUICE for 20% off. Home Field Apparel, we also appreciate them. I picked against them, but, you know, rocking some Home Field here. Use promo code LASTDANCE24 at homefieldapparel.com. VIP boxes should be back in soon, and coaches' jackets are dropping this weekend. And then finally, our buddy Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, slashing those health insurance premiums 20% to 30%. Give them a call, 601-953-8449, and get your free quote. So, gentlemen, it was a hell of a way to kick off the year. 5 straight days of football. It's going to be fun.
Go Rebels, baby. Shock the world.
Can't wait.
Yep. Boston College, shock the world. It's happening. It's going to happen.
That actually would shock the world.
That would be incredible. That's going to do it for Hit That Line here. Stay locked in, ohmspirit.com. We've got coverage leading up to Saturday's game and all your recruiting coverage. So for Ben, for Nick, for Austin, I'm Zach. This has been the flagship. We appreciate y'all tuning in. We out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.